Good morning.
Morning.
All right, it's a pleasure to come back to this secret desk to deliver a message from our God. So we want to thank the Bossier family for this beautiful song. And we want to thank Jimmy, for reading the text, two texts actually, from the Bible, which will be the base for our message today. So as you can see, we are going to be speaking about the seven last plagues. Have you heard about plagues, seven last plagues? Anybody? Let me see your hand. All right, thank you. We're going to be talking about it. But before I do, let me pray. If you can kneel down with me and pray with me and pray for me, it would be great. Dear Father, it's a blessed privilege for me to be speaking in your name this morning in your church to your beloved children. I am not worthy to be your mouthpiece today. You are a holy God, and I am a wicked man. But if you choose me to do that, please make me holy. And at the same time, let it be you and you alone speaking to the church that none would disobey you, would turn their back to you, would silence the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to the heart. Please forgive my sins and the sins of every church member and those who will follow online or who will see the replay. Let them accept the truth and evangelize the world wherever they may be. I pray in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So I have a glitch in my laptop. I don't know how to solve that problem, but hopefully everything will be okay. So there's a context for this message. The seven last plagues will be visited upon the wicked. It will be in proportion to the waves of mercy that will be rejected by them in the time of probation. God had given extraordinary proofs of his power to the Egyptians when the time had come to redeem his people from slavery in Egypt. He also has given enough proof of his love for the humankind. Every time that God has asked to Pharaoh to let my people go, Pharaoh resisted the repeated call until the wrath of God was poured out on them in the killing of their first males born in every Egyptian's family. So God has given them warning over warning. God has sent them many times messages upon messages to let his people go. They would not. God was trying to prevent his wrath from striking, but they would not listen to his voice. So Brothers and sisters, in this message, I will be highlighting some of these seven events that will take place on earth before God releases his wrath through the seven last plagues. Those seven events are the great apostasy, both in the Seventh-day Adventist church and in the fallen churches. This great apostasy in the fallen churches is the passing of the Sunday laws. You can notice that I did not say Sunday law, because there will be three Sunday laws. That the great apostasy of the Seventh-day Adventist church is the adoption of false doctrines or teachings by many in our ranks. These teachings are adapted from the wine of Babylon. The wine of Babylon being the teachings, the doctrines, the beliefs of Babylon, of the Catholic Church in particular. A great majority of the church will leave the ranks under a pretext or another. The end of the probationary time of the investigative judgment, the outpouring of the latter rain, the loud cry as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the time of trouble, which we call the time of trouble of Jacob. No, this is the little time of trouble. And then we will have, parallel to the seven last plagues, we will have the time of trouble of Jacob. These are some of the last events that will take place on earth before God pours out upon the wicked the seven last plagues. So what are the reasons? I'm giving you some, or one, or even two reasons for the seven last plagues. Sister White says, then Jesus will step out from between the Father and men. What does that mean? Jesus will stop interceding on our behalf. The judgment is ended. And God will keep silence no longer. God keeps silence when we sin. When we sin, he doesn't strike. He could have, but he decided not to do so until the seven last plagues. But pour out his wrath on those who have rejected his truth. So the wrath of God in the seven last plagues will be poured out on those who reject the truth of God. Sister White continues, the nations are now getting angry. Don't you see it? But when our high priest, which is who, has finished his work, what work? Intercessory work or intercession. He is interceding on my behalf and in your behalf every time that we ask forgiveness for our sins and that we repent of doing them, we are forgiven because Jesus intercedes. His work in the sanctuary, he will stand up. Jesus will stand up. What does that mean? He will plead no more. It's over. It is done. No more intercession. No more pleading on behalf of humankind. Those that will be marked by the beast will be marked by the beast forever. And those that will be sealed by God will be sealed by God forever. Then there is no need of intercession. No more need to intercede on behalf of anybody. Then the seven last plagues will be poured out. The seven last plagues will be poured out. Now, when we talk about seven last plagues, when those vials, they are called also vials, V-I-A-L-S, it will be not until the investigative judgment is over. Once it's over, then God will determine when exactly, but immediately after, this is what happens. Our own course of action will determine whether we shall receive the seal of the living God or be cut down by the destroying weapons. What do you think are the destroying weapons? Do we have any context clue? What will be God's destroying weapons? Come on now. Nobody? All right, thank you, my sister, my daughter, actually. It's going to be the seven last plagues. Already a few drops of God's wrath have fallen upon the earth. The pestilences, earthquakes, cyclones, all hurricanes, tornadoes, fires in Canada or in California or in Paris or France. They are just drops of God's wrath upon the earth. But when the seven last plagues shall be poured out without mixture, that means they will not be mingled with what? Mercy. The whole wrath of God will be poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Why will God be indignated? Indignant? Okay, thank you. Why do you think God will be indignant? This is what you said. Why? Because we have despised what? His goodness, his love, his mercy. We trample upon his 10 commandments, particularly the fourth commandment, so there will come indignation. Then it will be forever too late to repent. Too late to repent. But God, I have repented, yes, but too late. And it is not a genuine repentance. And too late to repent and find shelter. No atoning blood will then wash away the stains of sin. No more mercy. What does that mean? And at that time, this will be the time of Armageddon time. When people are talking about Armageddon time, think about when the wrath of God will be poured out upon the wicked and they will try to kill us. It will be a fight between good and evil. Between Christ and the devil, between the truth and error. Okay? The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. We are getting there, I'm telling you. A time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Imagine 1 second, you've been in Ukraine and bombs are falling here and there. Buildings are destroyed. Businesses are destroyed. Family members are being killed. How would you feel? But this is nothing in comparison to what will come upon the earth when the investigative judgment will be over. Such as never was since there was a nation even to that time, same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Amen. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. If your name is not written in the book at the time, I'm sorry, it's over for you. That's why constantly every time when you kneel down, or if you stand up, or if you lay down on your bed, you think about praying. Pray for forgiveness of sin. Because once this is over, I'm telling you one more time, it's over. No more late repentance. God will not accept it. As a matter of fact, Jesus will not be pleading. He will stand up and step out of the sanctuary. When this time of trouble comes, every case is decided. There is no longer probation. One time I was walking somewhere with a certain agency. They gave me a year of probation. Here in New York, there are many agencies. When you work there, they will give you a year of probation. God has given to every one of us years of probation. 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 years of probation. And then we have not repented. And when Jesus stepped out, we said, oh, God, forgive. Okay, too late. There is no longer probation, no longer mercy for the impenitent. The seal of the living God is upon his people. Who will be visited with the plagues? Who will not be visited with the plagues? Nobody? All right, let's see. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Zechariah is talking about what here? About persecution against God's people. Jerusalem is God's people. Not Jerusalem in the Middle East. Jerusalem is us. Okay, what will be that plague about? Their flesh shall consume away. Wow. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Can you imagine that? Your body is consuming away. It's hot. It's painful. You cannot do anything. And their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Brother Pierre, I cannot see you. Okay? What happens? And their tongue shall consume away. Let me ask a question. I'm preaching, but let me say that. If your tongue is consumed away, is consuming away, or consumes away in your mouth, what will happen? If I'm talking to your face, in your face, will you not hide your face? If my tongue is, this is it, consumed away. My breath will not be a good. You see what I'm saying? So, the Bible is clear about what God will do in that time. Oh my God, this glitch. Okay, hopefully. And to the others, he said in my eyes, in my hearing, Ezekiel 9 verses 5 and 6. Go ye after him through the city. Which city? Jerusalem. What Jerusalem symbolizes? The church. Which church? Seventh-day Adventist church. Go ye after him through the city and smite. When you smite, is it the building, the benches, the microphones, or people? Smite. Let not your eyes spare. That means, oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, he's so handsome. I'm not going to kill. God said kill. Kill. Oh, no. Hey. Neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. Our salvation, our protection will be the mark. Not the mark of the beast, but the sign of God, the seal of God. If you have the seal of God, there will be no plague on you. And begin at my sanctuary. The seven last plagues will be poured out fresh upon God's church. Then they begin at the ancient men, like me, which were before the house. God forbid, I'm not saved. If I'm alive, I will be among the first to be stricken by the plagues. But praise to God, I will be saved. Amen. Oh God, please help. Where is the little girl who prayed for the car? Do I have a little girl to pray for me? Okay. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah, which is us, because Israel and Judah do not exist as a church to the Lord anymore, since the stoning of Stephen, the first of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. What is perverseness? You could say sins, iniquity, sodomy, whatever you want to call it. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Why do you think they say that? The Lord seeth not. Because they believe that once they commit a sin, God should strike immediately. But because God does not do anything, they believe that God does not see. Then they will pursue the course of actions against the government of God. Now, brothers and sisters, buckle up. Buckle up. Let me do it because I may be falling on the ground. Let me put it. All right. Am I good? Let's see. An agonizing company. Who are they? Then I was shown a company who were howling in agony. On their garments was written in large characters, Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. One time, in the time of Daniel, something like that happened. Belteshazzar was a king, and this man decided to use the vessels taken from the house of the Lord in Jerusalem by his father Nebuchadnezzar. His father did never use the sacred vessels, but this man decided to use them as he was given a feast to his great and concubines. And he asked his servant to bring the vessels, sacred vessels of the Lord, to serve his concubines. And great at that time, there was the extremity of a hand writing on the wall something, and the interpretation was, Thou art weighed in the balance and was found wanting. Do you want God to say the same thing about you? No. But let's see if God will say that about his own church. Don't forget, if God has done so with the Israelite back then, who tells you that he will not do the same thing with us? We are not better than they were. And so God has never changed. He will do the same thing with us. The text says, I asked who this company were. What company? Who were howling in agony. Sister White asked, who are these people? The angel said, these are they who once kept the Sabbath and have given it up. If you think about quitting, think twice. I asked who this company were. The angel said, these are they who once kept the Sabbath and have given it up. I heard them cry with a loud voice, we have believed in thy coming and taught it with energy. And while they were speaking, their eyes would fall upon their garments and see the whiting, and then they would wail aloud. That's why they were howling in agony. Wail aloud. I saw that they had drunk of the deep waters. What are the deep waters? The wine of Babylon. What is the wine of Babylon? The teaching, the doctrine of Babylon. What is Babylon? The Catholic Church in particular, and the evangelicals. And foul the residue with their feet, trodding the Sabbath underfoot. And that was why they were weighed in the balance and found wanting. This text, this quote is talking to us as Seventh-day Adventists who once kept the Sabbath. My brothers and sisters, we are living a time we cannot be sugarcoating our messages anymore. It's over. If ever there was a time to sugarcoat messages, that time is in the past. It's over. It's over. All right. My brother, I need you for that one. So, but don't forget, we were talking about this. Seventh-day Adventists who were once keeping the Sabbath, but now have decided to give it up. This video, I'm going to show you three clips of the same person. This is someone who was professor at one of our universities here in America. His name is Dr. Clinton Baldwin. Theological flawed doctrines of our church as Seventh-day Adventists. Who said that? This man. Who is he? A doctor in theology. He was professor of one of our universities. He said that many of our doctrines are theologically flawed. Okay. So you may be thinking, what are those doctrines he was referring to that he said are full of errors? Let's see. This man said these are flawed. Whether it be the investigative judgment, the doctrine of sanctuary, the Sabbath, tithes and offerings, all of these and much more that I have not named. He said, these are not biblical. Now, he's not just quitting teaching, but he has already quit the church. He is no longer Seventh-day Adventist. I have a last one to show you. A last one. It's going to be short. The same glitch. Okay, let me see. Okay, so what did you hear from this man? And he said that he is not alone. Okay, you got it. He said he is not alone. There are many scholars, many pastors, many laypersons who believe the same thing about the investigative judgment, about the sanctuary doctrine, about the Sabbath, about Sunday law, or Sunday observance, according to them, is not the mark of the beast. He has a bunch of doctrines that he wants to debunk. So when Sister White says that the majority of church members will live, and these people, according to him, those who do not believe in this doctrine will stay in the church to convert church members into their own doctrine. Okay, now I'm going to wash it. And behold, the men clothed. Don't forget, Sister White saw people organizing. Why? Because the seven last plagues will be on them. Why? They were keeping the Sabbath and giving it up. And behold, the men clothed with linen, which have the horn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. The slaying. Slaying. You know what slaying means? You know it. Okay. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harp of God. Those were sealed by God. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry. For all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof, those that will be sealed are just not those that keep the Sabbath, but they sigh and cry. Because of what? The sins committed in the church. I don't want to talk about even physical abuse that some pastors have done to some church members. It's online. I don't want to talk about it. It's ugly. It's ugly. Don't forget, I am a pastor too. He is a pastor. Local pastors. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven last plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breast girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials or plagues full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven last plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So not until the investigative judgment is over, nobody can get into the temple. That means even Jesus Christ, he stepped out because he's not interceding. The Father would not even hear his voice because the Father is not there anymore. That's why there is smoke in the temple. That's why the temple was open. And what next? We will get to the time of Jacob's trouble. I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary. And then will come the seven last plagues. These plagues enraged the wicked against the righteous. They thought that we had brought the judgments of God upon them, and that if they could rid the earth of us, the plagues would then be stayed. This is a wrong narrative. They believe that because we are protected and they are stricken with what? The plagues. We are the cause of them being the subject of the wrath of God. It is not so. Because you disobey God, you trample upon the saints and upon the commandments of God, you fought against God, then this is the consequence, a logical consequence of your bad habits, bad behaviors, and bad decisions. A decree went forth to slay the saints, which caused them to cry day and night for deliverance. This was the time of Jacob's trouble. Then all the saints cried out with anguish of spirit and were delivered by the voice of God. Hi, you're going to see that. The 144,000 triumphed. Their faces were lighted up with the glory of God. Let's see. Amen. Thank you. For once. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Okay, let's see. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome, we just saw it earlier, and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. Those people are, okay? Nobody has prayed for that. Nobody has prayed. Dear Father, please help. Is it? Okay, let me see. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, okay, and the first went dead. Okay, it's dead. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and they were, okay, we just read that. Now, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth, and it shall come to pass. Okay, this is good. This is good. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. There will be chaos. There will be civil unrest between them. I'm sorry. Civil fight between them. Church members fighting their pastors because of lies. Not among us. Not among us. Among them. Okay. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Do you notice that every commerce or trade that we do it through the sea? International trade is done through the sea. You need to have a sea to have your boat coming from France, from Italy, from Germany, to come here to sell whatever they have. Now, when the sea becomes blood and the living animals that are in the sea are dead, how do you think it will be? It will be impossible for them to do commerce, international commerce or trade. It will be impossible. And when animals died in water, what happens? It will stink. And later on, you will see that Jesus, the angel of the water, said, give them that water to drink. It says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they become blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Give them water. What water? Bloody water. With what? Animals, dead animals. When you have dead animals, worms came out of them. Smelly. Good perfume for them to smell. Okay, and it says, For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Yes, they are worthy. The fourth plague, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Imagine just 1 second. I know that many of us love the sun. I do, because Elias means the sun. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. At that time, for the fourth plague, it will be the sun scorching. The sun will be like fire. That's no joke. That's no joke. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. You know, that's what they used to. What they used to is to blaspheme the name of the Lord, and then they would never repent. God said to the church of Pergamos, God said to the angel of the church of Pergamos, he said that you allow Jezebel to teach doctrine of the devil to my children. I gave her time to repent. She would not repent. And now we have Jezebel, which is a Catholic church, teaching in our universities. And last time, about 1 month ago, Loma Linda University has decided to have a panel with those people, with a Catholic priest, which is actually one of the chaplains in our hospital in Loma Linda. If it were not because of Pastor Ted Wilson asking them to stop it, they would do it in our own facility. But they did it anyway. They went to a different place the same day, on a Sabbath day, to do the same thing that Pastor Ted Wilson told them not to do. We have wicked people among us. They said that we can learn from them, and they can learn from us, and then we need to apologize to the Catholic Church because we are anti-Catholic. Pastor, Seventh-day Adventist pastor, you would say because he is of a certain age, probably in his 79, 80 years of age, he would be wiser because you believe that gray hair would make you wiser than black hair? You better believe not this lie. Now, let me go a little bit faster because some people, faith, plan. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and repented not of their deeds. No, now, people, even the evangelicals are preaching that there will be another time of probation. But the Bible said they will repent not. We read it twice now. They will repent not. They will continue to blaspheme the name of the Lord. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, this last battle, all the kings of the earth will be engaged in. America first. The evil spirits will empower the wicked governments of the world to fight against God in the presence of his children, enacting a law that goes against God's holy Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath. There will be a performance of great miracles by the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon constitutes the pagan organization organizations and religions. The beast is the Catholic Church system, and the false prophet represents the Protestant churches or the evangelicals. They will be able to perform those miracles by the power of evil spirit. UFO is real, and it is well known that these so-called aliens are in communication with the American government. Yes, I believe they are preparing for the last battle between truth and error, between Christ and Satan, between Christ's children and those of the devil. This is it. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." You know who is the dragon? "And out of the mouth of the beast." You know who is the beast? "And out of the mouth of the false prophet." You know, it is the evangelicals. Okay? Now, let's go. "For they are the spirits of devils." Spirit of devils coming out their mouth. "For they are the spirit of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth." Now, I know that we will have a new president. I don't know who that will be. But any president, any American president, any president of the world, anyway, the devil will communicate with you. The devil will talk to you. And if you are not on God's side, you will be on the devil's side. "Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Brothers and sisters, this small remnant, unable to defend themselves in the deadly conflict with the powers of earth that are marshaled by the dragon host, make God their defense. The decree has been passed by the highest earthly authority that they shall worship the beast and receive his mark under pain of persecution and death. May God help his people now, for what can they then do in such a fearful conflict without his assistance? And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne of God. Now, brothers and sisters, let me read that to finish, because you don't want to stay too long. Now, too terrible to be true. The Bible said, "And every island will flee away, and the mountains will not be found when that day comes." It says, "And there fell upon men a great hail." The seventh one. "And there shall fall upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail." And the text says, "For the plague thereof was exceeding great." Can you imagine having big, one talent? Does anybody know how in pound? Can you tell me how much pounds in a talent? How many pounds in a talent? You don't know? 50, you said? Oh, he said he believed 50. Can you imagine you have a 50 pound hell fall upon your head and you're not dead? It will be very, very terrible. "The whole earth heaves and swells like the waves of the sea. Its surface is breaking up. Its very foundation seem to be giving way. Mountain chains are sinking. Inhabited islands disappear. The seaports that have become like Sodom." When we see Sodom, think about what Sister White is talking about here. "The seaports that have become like Sodom, for wickedness, are swallowed up by the angry waters. Babylon is remembered." The great has come in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Okay, the voice will do something. Let me show you what the voice will do. The voice of God. It says, "The proudest cities of the earth are laid low, the lordly palaces upon which the world's great men have lavished their wealth in order to glorify themselves are crumbling to ruin before their eyes. Prison walls are rent asunder, and God's people who have been held in bondage for their faith are set free. Now, graves are opened, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All who have died in the faith of the third angel's message come forth from the tomb glorified to hear God's covenant of peace with those who have kept his law. People will get resurrected in the seventh last plague. All who died in the message of the third angel, they will get resurrected. If you are saved and you die now, you will get resurrected even before the second coming of Christ. Those that they also which pierce him will get resurrected. Who are those? Those that mocked and derided Christ's dying agonies, and the most violent opposers of his truth and his people are raised to behold him in his glory and to see the honor placed upon the loyal and obedient. Brothers and sisters, the last events, including the seven last plagues, are soon to take place on this earth. It is high time for us to set things right before God. We should be doing it now. Do not wait tomorrow. Tomorrow is not ours. We need to confess our sins now, because we may die tomorrow. And if we die tomorrow, or even today without confessing one sin, we will be lost. None has to be lost, brothers and sisters. None has to face the wrath of God, as there's still time for repentance. Let us make things right with God so to avoid both the seven last plagues and the final destruction by fire. God bless you. You may not hear those words that you wanted to hear, but it's nonetheless the word of God, a word of warning, asking every church member, every little child to get things right before God before he strikes. Do not despise these words and work on it, and God will help you out. Let us pray. Dear Father, we want to thank you for this time that you spent teaching your word coming from the Holy Writ. It is not advisable, or it is not advised, that any one of us, including me, to step or to side your word, to index them, to despise them, to trample upon them. Your word is not written in the book for nothing. We should value them and prepare our heart to meet the Lord as the investigative judgment is going on in heaven. Please save everyone, including our visiting friends. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.